Take your Bibles, if you would please, to Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18. We've been going through on Wednesday nights. Back to the basics, building on the right foundations. And we've been talking the last couple weeks about the Bible. I'm sure glad for the Word of God, aren't you? Glad that we have the infallible Word of God. There's no errors in it, nothing wrong with it. And I'm glad we sure have it, that we can study from it and learn from it. And I did say, I'm glad we have the Bible and nobody said anything. Now, aren't you glad we have the Bible? Amen? Aren't you glad we have that? We have God's roadmap for our lives. The truth that sets men free. And I'm sure glad for it. But we're going to be speaking on a different topic tonight. Luke chapter number 18 and verse number 1. The Bible says, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We're going to be talking on the subject of prayer, effective prayer. Listen, the Bible is our offensive weapon to fight against the devil, but I also believe it's accompanied with prayer. It's a two-way thing, the relationship that we have with the Lord. God speaks to us through his word, and we speak to God through prayer. That's the communication process. Someone once said that a Christian is only as strong as his prayer life. If that was the case, how strong of a believer would you be? How strong of a Christian would you be if your strength was based on your prayer life? And the fact of the matter is, we ought to be people of prayer. This verse says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We ought to be people of prayer. We meet on Wednesday nights. It's called our prayer meeting, our Wednesday night Bible study and prayer meeting time. And I'm glad we have a church that's willing to pray. I'm glad we have people in our church that are willing to get together with burdened hearts for people and weep and shed tears and pray for folks. And what a blessing it is. And prayer is a very vital thing in each and every one of our lives. Your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ cannot grow without the proper communication in that relationship. There's no relationship that can grow properly if there's not proper communication. There's got to be two-way communication. It can't just be one-sided. If my wife talks to me all the time, but I never speak to her at all, our relationship is not going to be strong. It has to be a two-way relationship there. And so in the purpose of this this series of lessons that we've been teaching are to strengthen your faith, but to help you to build on that foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ and what the Bible teaches us, and not by man's philosophies or man's opinions, but what God's Word says. There's too many people relying on what men think rather than what God says. And we need to get back to what the Bible teaches us. When you read the Bible, God speaks to you, and when you pray, you speak to God. A lot of times, though, our prayers aren't the right kind of prayers, and we'll talk about those things here this evening. Firstly, I want to start out with, what is the purpose of prayer? What is the purpose of prayer? I will say this, the purpose of prayer is not to move God for you to change his mind. The purpose of prayer is for you to be conformed to God's will. You say, what do you mean? It's not for you to try to change God to your will, but to get you to go to God's will. You ought to be praying for God's will. A proper prayer life results in a peace of heart and mind. Look at Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. A proper prayer life will result in a peace of heart and mind. I don't know about you, but I want to have peace in heart and mind. We ought to have that. Well, the right kind of prayer, an effective prayer life or a proper prayer life will result in that. Look at Philippians 4 and starting in verse number 6, look what it says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Have you ever had trouble thinking on the right kind of things? I know I have in my life. I've had trouble thinking on the right kind of things, not getting my mind on worry, not getting my mind on other things. Well, how do you get your mind with the peace of God? The Bible says in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. It says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. Listen, so if you're going to have peace of mind and heart, you've got to have a prayer life. You've got to have a prayer life. What kind of, it says, be careful, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. That means we ought to be praying for everything. You say, what are you talking about? That means if I'm going to be buying something, I need to be praying about it. If I'm going to be finding a spouse for my life, guess what? You ought to be praying about that. Okay? You ought to be praying about different decisions that you're making in life. Why? Because the Bible says to pray for everything. We ought to have that kind of prayer life, is that we're praying for everything. Listen, prayer is to draw you closer to God so that He can prove His sufficiency of every need that you have. He is all sufficient for everything. And as you're praying, God will draw you close to Himself. He tells us, draw nigh unto me and I will draw nigh unto you. That happens through the proper relationship. And the only way you have a proper relationship is not just by reading the Bible, but by praying. Listen, you ought to be praying before you read the Bible. You ought to be praying during the time you're reading the Bible. Praying, why? Because you say, how can I pray and read the Bible at the same time? You're talking in a communication with the Lord, letting your heart be open to His Word, talking to Him, having this communication inside of you. And it gives you the right kind of heart and mind if you'll do that. It's to draw you closer to God so that He can show you He's all-sufficient for every need. You know, God is active in every detail of your life. He knows exactly what you need even before you ask Him. So why are we afraid to ask Him? See, God already knows what we need. Look at Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. And verse number 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. You know what? God knows what you need even before you ask. He knows everything that you need. Listen, He's active in every detail of your life. He's your Heavenly Father. He knows what you need. Listen, just like parents know what their kids need. They know what their kids need. There's times my kids will come in, they don't know what they need, and mom and dad will say, hey, this is what you need. Well, how do you know that? We've been there before, okay? My stomach's hurting. Well, here's what you need. You know, we try to help them. You always need chocolate in that case, right? That's what most people think. We saw this sticker the other day. It said, forget about love, I want to fall into chocolate instead of fall into love. That's a woman's motto, right? They like chocolate. But the fact of the matter is, we need to have the right kind of prayer life. We need to have that right kind of prayer life. What's it do? It gives us the right heart and mind. But I want you to, God also encourages us to understand this, that He already knows our needs even before we ask. God knows everything. He's involved in every detail of our life. God allows needs to come into your life so that He can draw you to meet with Him. Sometimes God allows needs in your life. I want you to take note of this, because He can draw you to meet Him during those times. Look at Psalm chapter number 50. Psalm chapter number 50. Some people say, well, why do I have needs? Well, if you didn't have needs, you'd never have need of God, right? You got to have needs so that you can show, God can show you His, your need for Him. Psalm 50. Verse 14 and 15, look what it says. Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. He said, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Why does God allow needs to arise in your life? Is this so that you can glorify Him in the end. Why? He already knows your needs, but He allows these needs to come in your life sometimes, these troubles that it says to come in your life. Why? That He can deliver you and you can glorify Him. You can glorify Him. The most dangerous time in your life is when every single need is met and you have need of nothing, including God. Think about America. One nation under God. But then America has been prospered and blessed. And America is the greatest nation in all the world, I believe. I'm glad I'm an American, aren't you? I'm glad I live here, have the freedoms that we have. But America has been so spoiled that they forgot about their need for God. That's why they got prayers. They try to get prayer out of schools and Bible reading out of schools. They try to do all that. Why? Because they try to get God out. Because we don't need God anymore. Right? We're America. But I'll tell you what, God is the reason America was great. Amen. And because we don't stick with the things of God, America is ceasing to be as great as it once was. And we need to get that back once again. That was a side note and that was free, okay? But the most dangerous time in your life is when every single need in your life is met and you feel like you don't need anything. I don't know about you, but all my needs have not been met in my life. There's still things I would like to have. Why? Because I still need the Lord. If you don't think you need the Lord, guess what? You're messed up because you need the Lord. Look at Revelation, if you would, please, chapter number 3. You say, oh, preacher, that doesn't happen. Revelation chapter number 3. Starting in verse number 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest thou that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? See, what he's saying is they think this church of Laodicea is saying, hey, I'm rich in need of nothing. But the fact of the matter is we're nothing without God. Amen. He was reminding them, listen, you're nothing but a sinner and you need God in your life. Just because you have riches of this world doesn't make you to have the right kind of peace. The Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil, piercing them even to sorrows. I did not say money is evil. I said the love of money is evil. And listen, that's why our forefathers have on our money, in God we trust, because they want us to understand it's not money that you trust in, it's God that you trust in. And we need to get back to the place where we rely on God and realize we need Him in every aspect of our life. It's the most dangerous place for you to be when you don't think you need God. You're just like the church of Laodicea. You don't make up your mind. Why? Because you know you don't think you need God. And that's where America is, and it's very dangerous ground. We do need God in our life. God uses your needs to draw you to the place where He can bless you and reveal to you that your real need is simply the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace. See, God does these things. He allows things. He draws you to the place where He can bless you and help you to realize that you need Him and His grace. Listen, if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. You say, what do you mean by that? I'm going to show you what Paul says here to the church at Corinth. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Verse 7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. He said, verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. See, the Apostle Paul is saying this, I asked the Lord to get rid of this thorn in the flesh. He basically just said, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. See, God allows you to go through these things to draw you to the place where you realize that His grace is sufficient and that you can, that He can bless you through it. The Apostle Paul said, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know what? If we ask God to get rid of the mountains in our life, it doesn't help us to be stronger. God uses mountains in our life to help us to climb so we can gain strength. And we ask God to get rid of these mountains oftentimes, and God's answer is simply, no, my grace is sufficient for thee. We always think that if God says no, God didn't answer. A lot of people think that. They think if God said no, then God must not have heard me. He must not have answered my prayers. No, some of God's greatest gifts to us are when He says no, because He knows what's best. And we just need to be willing to accept that. Paul said, I'd rather glory in my infirmities. I wonder if that would be us. Could we say that, Lord, I would rather glory in my infirmities that Your power can rest upon me, that I can see that Your grace is sufficient for me. Listen, prayer helps us to understand those things as we pray and God answers. Paul said, I besought the Lord thrice. Three times I went to Him and asked Him to get rid of this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan that buffeted me. I asked Him to get rid of it. And He said, no, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Listen, this is why it's absolutely essential to give thanks for everything, including the needs and the difficult times in life. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Verse 16 through verse 18. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything. If you're in the habit of underlining in your Bible, I want you to take it and underline those two words. Everything. Give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So wait a second. You mean it is God's will for me to give thanks in everything? It is God's will. Preacher, are you telling me that in my infirmities, in my troubles, it is God's will for me to give thanks? That's what the Bible says. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So what is God's will for my life? Give thanks. Give thanks. For everything. Give thanks for everything. We ought to be thankful for all that God gives to us and even all that God does not give to us. We ought to be thankful. It's very absolutely, absolutely essential. Verse 17 said, pray without ceasing. It's essential for us to develop a constant prayer attitude. Your first reaction in a difficult moment should be to go to God. Your first reaction in a good moment ought to be to go to God. The problem we have in our society today is our first reaction is to go to Facebook. Our first reaction is to go to one of our friends. Now listen, it's not wrong for you to talk to a brother and sister in Christ. But the problem that we have a lot of times is we want to go to the pastor. We want to go to our Sunday school teachers. We want to go to all of them first and bypass God. You're getting things out of order. See, you ought to go to God first. You ought to go to Him. Pray without ceasing. You ought to talk to the Lord. He ought to be the first one you go to in any situation. When people come to me for counseling and things like that, sometimes I'll ask them, have you been praying? Have you been talking to God? Have you been walking with the Lord? If you're not doing those things, there's nothing I can really help you to do except point you to the place where you talk to God first. God is the one that you need to be seeking in these times and going to the Lord, and constantly first person is God. That's the first person I talk to. Now, is it wrong to get counsel? No, the Bible says a multitude of counselors, there's safety. You ought to have counselors in your life. But the problem is we turn to counselors and expect them, can you pray about this for me? Listen, we want to pray about things for you, but why don't you pray for yourself and talk to God about it? See, you ought to go to the Lord and talk to Him about it. It's very essential for you to develop a not a part-time prayer attitude, but a constant prayer attitude. Having that mindset of talking to God. Have you ever been just driving down the road talking to the Lord? You ever been just, I don't know, out in the garden, just talking to the Lord? You ever had something just pass through your mind and all of a sudden, oh wait, I need to pray about that, pray about this thing and talk to God about it? Listen, you have to have that mindset and that attitude of prayer. You ought to come to that mind. Pray without ceasing. Does that mean, God, that I'm supposed to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, not speak to anyone else but you? No, it means have a mindset of talking to God. Being able to, God is the one that I run to first. That's like saying, hey, I have a sickness and the doctor has the medicine, but I'm going to go ask a mechanic about it first. The problem is you ought to go to the doctor that has the fix, right? We ought to go to him and talk to the Lord about it. So what is the purpose of prayer? It's to bring you to God's will, not to try to bring God to you. It's to get you to understand that if you'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. It's to show you that his grace is sufficient. It gives you that relationship, that proper relationship with you and the Lord. So how do I pray? Some people ask that. How do I pray? Most of us, this is the way we pray. Lord, bless this food. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. That's our prayer. Lord, I'm about ready to go to sleep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And that's the prayer lives that we have. And you'll ask people, do you pray? Yeah, I pray three times a day. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That's when I pray. You know, and most of our prayers don't last them longer than about 10 seconds. And that's our communication with God. We wonder why we don't have a strong relationship with Him. So how do I pray? Look at Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Romans 8. A couple verses we're going to read, it makes it very clear that we do not always know how to pray or what to pray for. There's times that I'm just at my wit's end and I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. Look at verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for, what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So, how do I pray? Listen, there's times we don't know what to say. There's times in my life and in your life that we don't know what to pray for as we ought. But aren't you glad for the Spirit of God that lives inside of you? We talked about that when we went through the lesson on the Holy Spirit. But the fact of the matter is, we have a Holy Spirit living inside of us that when we don't know what to pray for, the Bible says He makes intercession for us, which groanings that cannot be uttered. And He does all of this, it says in verse 27, and He searcheth the heart, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to what? Our own will? No, the will of God. He prays the will of God for our life. Does that mean that he's going to ask God to release every infirmity in your life? No. Sometimes when we don't know what to pray for, he's just going to pray the will of God for us. The Spirit of God who lives inside of us, when we don't know how to pray, makes intercession for us. Aren't you glad we have him living inside of us? Amen. That he can, when we don't know how to pray or what to say, that he just makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and he prays according to the will of God. There are some basic guidelines when you pray. We already talked about one of them, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Here's the first one. It's real deep. Y'all need to get this. Pray without ceasing. Real deep. Pray always. Develop a lifestyle of prayer. You say, preacher, I'm not good at it. You get practice. Okay, the more practice you get, the better you get. Okay, keep praying. Keep talking to him. You say, preacher, I don't know what I can do. Pray. Just pray. Talk to God. Pray always. Then look at Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. I'm just going to give you a few guidelines here when you're praying. Help you a little bit. Matthew chapter number 6. Verse number 6, look what it says. But thou, when thou prayest... Now hold on, let me preface this. These aren't Pastor Caldwell's guidelines, okay? These are Bible guidelines. So whose guidelines are they? God's guidelines. Okay, I'm glad you got that. All right. So, how do I pray? Look what it says. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Firstly, you have to have a personal prayer life. Pray without ceasing. What's that mean? I'm talking about a time between you and the Lord, in your secret place, in that closet, in that place. I'm not saying you have to get in your hall closet and pray, but you got to get into a place where it's just you and God. You say, what are you talking about? I think every believer, every child of God ought to start their day off in their prayer closet, on their face before God. You say, why, preacher? Because he tells us, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Why? Because when you, the one who sees you in secret, you're not doing it to get a pat on the back, you understand? You're doing it because you have a genuine desire to talk to him. You have a genuine desire to talk to him. But then he goes on a little further. He says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Basically, what that means is don't keep repeating the same thing over and 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 over again like a broken record. Why? Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Pray. Talk to him. Okay? Don't use vain repetition. Why? Because he said, it's not for your much speaking. It's not how many words you can say to God. Just because you can come up with a big... You ever heard somebody who, when they begin to pray, that's when their theological degree comes out? I mean, they start using every big word that you've ever heard in your entire life. But when you talk to them, they never talk that way. But when they go to pray, why do they have to act like something that's different? Listen, God wants you exactly the way you are. You understand that? God wants you to come to him just like you are. Don't have to pretend to be somebody you're not. He knows your heart. You come to the Lord with the right spirit, the right heart. Get in your prayer closet. Talk to God. Make it a habit of prayer. And you don't have to use vain repetition. There's a lot of times you ever heard somebody pray. Now listen, I'm not trying to get on your case about this, but have you ever heard somebody pray and they said the word Lord 700 times and they had only like 3 other words in their prayer? I mean, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but you're already talking to him. We've got that. When you pray, you don't pray to anything else. You shouldn't anyway. When you're praying, you should only pray to God. But the fact of the matter is, he says, use not vain repetition. So we have to have a lifestyle of prayer. Don't use vain repetition. Talk to the Lord as a friend. Why? Because he is your friend. Talk to the Lord as a friend because he is your friend. Look at John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. You understand, I know he's our Savior. I understand that he is God. And I don't ever want you to disrespect him in the way you talk to him. But the fact of the matter is, God is your friend. And you ought to talk to him like your friend. You ought to talk to him as your heavenly Father. Talk to him as one that desires a relationship with you. John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. Look at verse 13 and 14. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Listen, he's your friend. You ought to talk to him like it. You know, there was a time I was out running when I was a police officer. I don't do that anymore. I don't think it's religious. I'm just kidding. I don't like to run, but I was out running one time. We were actually running out in the Shenandoah Valley when I was a police officer. We ran up this mountain. We got to the top of the mountain, and my friend looked at me and said, "Hey, man, let's pray." He said, "Look down here. We're looking down at all this. Let's pray." I said, "All right, you go first." And you know what? What he said stuck to my heart even to this day. When he started praying, he just tears began to come down his eyes, and he said, "Daddy, it's me again." He said, "I'm just talking to you, letting you know that I love you." And he just started talking to him as if he was his friend. You know what? The fact of the matter is, he is our friend. And we ought to talk to him as if he's our friend. Yes, he is God. And yes, you ought to reverence him. And yes, you ought to esteem him very highly. But the fact of the matter is, he is your friend. Don't try to put on and act like somebody that you're not. Talk to him as a friend. He desires that of you. He wants you to talk to him as if he's your friend. Look at Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Verse number 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What friend is that? It's Jesus. You know what? He's there. He's your friend. Pray always. Develop a lifestyle of it. Don't repeat the same words over and over again. Talk to the Lord as if he's your friend. And then look at Ephesians. I'm sorry, go to 1 Timothy first. Let's do that. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. First Timothy, chapter number 2, and look at verse number 5. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So we need to realize that we have direct access to God personally. You know what that means? You do not have to go through any other man to talk to God. Well, that shoots Catholicism in the foot, doesn't it? Because you don't have to go to a priest to talk to God. There's one high priest. There's one mediator between God and man. Who is that? The man Christ Jesus. When you begin to pray and you begin to talk to God, that man Christ Jesus, the go-between, us and him, there's one mediator. You have direct access to God. You don't have to come to the pastor and say, "Pastor, can you go to God for me?" Now listen, we can pray together, agree together to pray to God for something. But you don't have to just come to me and say, "Well, I can't pray. God won't hear me." No, God can hear you. And you can go to God for yourself. You can go to God. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. And verse number 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Listen, we have been reconciled to God. He says, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by the Spirit, by one Spirit, unto the Father. Listen, through Jesus we have access to God. If you're a child of God, you have access to God himself. Listen, Jesus is God, but he's that go-between, that mediator between us and God, the man Christ Jesus. You don't have to go to somebody else and have them go to God for you. You can go to God on your own and talk to him. Now listen, can you get others to pray with you? Sure you can. But listen, you ought not to have them take your place in prayer. You ought to be praying. You ought to be praying. You have direct access to God. Listen, be sure that you keep your basic relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ proper. What's that mean? Have the proper relationship. Why? Because there are some things in your life that will hinder your prayers. Listen, you can go to God and you can talk to the Lord in prayer. He wants you to do that. He desires that for you. That's part of your relationship with him. He desires you to talk to him. And guess what? He tells us to pray without ceasing. He wants us to have a prayer life. It's part of his command. But there are things in your life and in mine that can hinder our prayers. And I don't know about you, but I don't want my prayers to be hindered. And I don't want your prayers to be hindered. And guess what? If I'm praying for you, you don't want my prayers to be hindered. And if you're praying for me as well, I don't want your prayers to be hindered. So how do we keep our prayers from being hindered? We identify some things that hinder our prayers. And if we know what hinders our prayers, we can try to stop from doing those things, right? So let's see what the Bible says about what things hinder our prayer life. What are some things that hinder our prayer life? Look at Isaiah 59. Isaiah chapter 59. Look at verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. Does it say that he cannot hear? That he will not hear. He will not hear. So there's something that hinders our prayer. What is it? Unconfessed sin in your life. You have sin in your life, unconfessed sin that you're doing, that you absolutely know about, that the Holy Spirit of God has pinpointed in your life, and you just refuse to confess it. Guess what? It's not that he can't hear. It's not that he does. He will not hear it, the Bible says. It says he will not hear. He has hid his face from you, and he will not hear it. Look at Psalm 66. Psalm 66. Now, I'm trying to give you scripture for this. I want you to see it. This is God's word. We've established that over the last couple of weeks, that this is God's perfect word. It's totally inspired. The Bible says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Psalm 66. And look at verse number 18. Actually, go to verse 17 first. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, you say the Lord cannot hear me? The Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me, and hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. Listen, when we keep that confessed sin, guess what? It allows God to hear you. You say, my sins make God not hear me. No, God chooses not to hear you when you have sin in your life. The Bible says he will not hear you. You know how I picture it? When you have sin in your life that you're not willing to get rid of and you begin to talk to God about things that you need, God goes like this. He will not hear you. That's pretty powerful stuff, church. You understand that? That's pretty powerful. We have people in our church that depend on us to help pray for them. We ought to be praying to the Lord ourselves. But if we have unconfessed sin in our life, things that we just are too prideful to get rid of, guess what? God has to do this. Because the Bible says he'll turn his face from you and he will not hear you. And it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. You say, well, that's not fair, God. No, it's not fair for you to live a life of sin when God's brought you out of that and wants to give you victory, and he convicts your heart and tells you, listen, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if you're not willing to get rid of that, God says, that's pretty powerful. I'd be checking where I am in my life. Unconfessed sin. Unconfessed sin. Second area that'll hinder your prayers. Look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter number 6. We're going to stop at this point tonight, but I want to share this. We'll carry it on next week. But Matthew, don't say, well, I'm skipping out next week because I don't want to hear how my prayers are going to be hindered, okay? I'm trying to help you to avoid these things, all right? So first is unconfessed sin. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So not only unconfessed sin, but an unforgiving spirit. an unforgiving spirit. You're not willing to forgive someone who's wronged you. Guess what? The Bible says that if you won't forgive men their trespasses, how can we expect God to forgive us of ours? He said, God won't. You see what it says? Neither will He. It doesn't say that, oh, he doesn't want to. He just says He won't. He won't. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Look at one more verse, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Look what the Bible says in verse number 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. What's that mean? Listen, somebody does you wrong, get you upset. Don't end the day that way. Forgive them. Move on. Go on with life. Why? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Don't let the devil get a victory in your life. Don't make it where God can't hear you because you're regarding unforgiveness in your heart. You're not willing to forgive trespasses. It says, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. And it says, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Listen, don't go to bed angry with a brother or sister in Christ. Don't go to bed angry with somebody else that you're talking to. Listen, anger is a natural thing. So let me ask you a question. Is anger sin? The Bible says, be angry and sin not. So it's not the anger emotion inside of you that is sinful. It's how you react to that anger that is sinful. If you lash out and say, well, I'm blocking them from everything. I'm not talking to them anymore. They did this to me. And you're just going off. Guess what? You got to be willing to forgive. You got to be willing to forgive. Aren't you glad God forgave us? We're undeserving of forgiveness. But God in His love, wherewith He loved us, have forgiven us. Aren't you glad for that? So there's some things that will hinder your prayers. Unconfessed sin, unforgiving spirit. We're going to talk about some more of those things next week. And then we'll talk about four basic types of prayer. And then answer some other questions about that. But how do I pray? Listen, pray always. Have the mindset, the lifestyle of prayer. Don't use vain repetition. Talk to the Lord as if He's your friend. Understand that you have direct access to God through Jesus Christ. Be sure to keep that proper relationship with Him. Having the right kind of relationship with God and having unconfessed sin in your life is going to hinder it. An unforgiving spirit is going to hinder it. God said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. That's a pretty powerful statement, that God just won't hear you. God just won't hear you. We're going to talk about some other things about the Word of God and about prayer. In the book of Proverbs, it says, if you refuse to hear His word, even your prayer is an abomination. We're going to read about that verse. Can you imagine your prayer being an abomination in the ears of God? Listen, you ought to be living a holy, righteous life. Why? So you can have that right relationship with Him. I wonder, how's your prayer life tonight? With heads bowed, eyes closed.